Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Stop Being Toxic, Stop Overthinking in Your Relationships, and Master. The Art of Letting Go and Saying No by Andrew C. Hinkleberg is positioned as a practical, multi-topic mental health workbook built around widely used therapy frameworks. Framed as a 10-in-1 guide, it brings together skill sets often taught separately, such as cognitive behavioral techniques, dialectical behavior skills, acceptance-based strategies, and reflective prompts associated with shadow work. The promise is not instant transformation, but structured practice, identifying unhelpful patterns, learning emotional regulation, communicating with clarity, and building boundaries that do not rely on guilt or people-pleasing. The book targets everyday relationship stressors like jealousy, defensiveness, conflict cycles, and intrusive what-if thoughts, while also addressing deeper drivers such as attachment wounds and childhood conditioning. Readers can expect exercises, checklists, and step-by-step routines designed to make self-improvement measurable, especially for those who want actionable tools rather than abstract theory. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing toxic patterns without shame. A core theme of the book is learning to name toxic behaviors in a clear, non-dramatic way so they can be changed. Many people stay stuck because they define themselves as toxic rather than identifying specific actions such as controlling behavior, passive aggression, stonewalling, chronic criticism, or emotional dumping. A skills-based approach reframes the problem as learned coping strategies that once felt protective but now damage trust and closeness. The reader is guided to map triggers, common conflict sequences, and the payoffs of unhealthy reactions, such as getting short-term certainty, avoiding vulnerability, or gaining temporary power. From there, the work becomes practical. Track situations that reliably produce defensiveness, jealousy, or blame shifting, and notice early warning signals in the body and thoughts. This section also emphasizes accountability with self-compassion. Accountability means acknowledging impact, making repairs, and practicing alternatives. Self-compassion keeps the change process sustainable by reducing spirals of guilt and self-hatred that can lead to more reactivity. The overall takeaway is that behavior change starts with accurate self-awareness, a realistic view of progress, and a commitment to repair rather than perfection. Secondly, CBT tools to stop overthinking and relationship rumination. The book highlights overthinking as a pattern that can look like caring but often functions as anxiety management. In relationships, it shows up as replaying conversations, mind reading, catastrophizing about breakups, scanning for signs of rejection, and seeking repeated reassurance. CBT-oriented methods aim to separate facts from interpretations and to challenge thinking traps that fuel emotional intensity. Readers are encouraged to write down the triggering event, the automatic thought, the emotion, and the behavior that followed, then test the thought for accuracy and usefulness. The work is not about forcing positive thinking, but about building balanced thinking that supports better choices. A key practice is cognitive reframing. Generating multiple plausible explanations before reacting and choosing responses that align with values rather than fear. Another focus is building tolerance for uncertainty, since many rumination loops are attempts to guarantee outcomes. Behavioral experiments are also relevant, such as delaying reassurance seeking, setting a time limit for analysis, or practicing direct communication instead of checking or testing a partner. Over time, these routines can reduce obsessive loops, improve emotional steadiness, and help the reader show up with more presence and less mental noise. Thirdly, DBT skills for emotional regulation and conflict. De-escalation, relationship conflict often escalates because emotions rise faster than skills. The book leans on DBT-style strategies that focus on stabilizing the nervous system and making responses more intentional. Practical skill categories include distress tolerance for moments when feelings spike, emotion regulation for long-term stability, and interpersonal effectiveness for clearer requests and boundaries. In tense moments, simple grounding routines and pause strategies create a buffer between impulse and action, reducing yelling, threats, or shutdown. Readers are guided to identify their typical conflict role, such as pursuer, avoider, critic, or appeaser, and to practice alternatives that maintain dignity for both sides. Another emphasis is validation, which does not mean agreeing, but acknowledging the other person's emotional reality to lower defensiveness. This helps conversations stay on the actual issue rather than turning into character attacks. The section also frames repair as a skill, apologizing specifically, naming the impact, and stating what will change next time. By practicing these tools, the reader can build a sense of internal control, communicate under stress, and prevent recurring fights from becoming relationship-defining events. Fourthly, ACT and the Art of Letting Go. Letting go is presented less as forgetting and more as changing the relationship to thoughts, feelings, and past events. ACT-aligned ideas encourage acceptance of internal experiences while committing to actions that reflect chosen values. Instead of battling every painful memory or intrusive thought, readers learn to notice thoughts as mental events that come and go. This reduces fusion, the state where a thought like "I am not enough" is treated as a fact that dictates behavior. The book also connects letting go to grief and control. Many people cling to resentment, old arguments, or imagined alternate endings because it provides a sense of certainty or moral superiority. Values clarification shifts the focus to what the reader wants to stand for in relationships, such as honesty, kindness, autonomy, or stability. From that values base, the reader can take small committed steps even when anxiety is present, like having a hard conversation, ending a draining dynamic, or stopping a checking habit. Letting go also includes releasing the need to win, to be understood instantly, or to control a partner's feelings. The outcome is increased psychological flexibility, which tends to improve resilience, intimacy, and decision-making. Lastly, shadow work, boundaries, and learning to say no beyond symptom management, the book points toward deeper pattern change by exploring shadow work and childhood influences. The idea is that hidden or disowned parts of the self can drive reactions, such as intense jealousy, avoidance of responsibility, people-pleasing, or fear of abandonment. Reflective prompts and exercises can help identify early beliefs like conflict is dangerous, love must be earned, or my needs do not matter. Once these drivers are visible, boundary work becomes more precise. Instead of vague promises to be less reactive, the reader can set concrete limits on time, communication style, privacy, and emotional labor. Learning to say no is framed as a skill that protects relationships by preventing resentment and burnout. The book emphasizes clarity and consistency. A boundary is not a threat, it is information about what you will do. It also encourages readers to anticipate guilt, pushback, and the urge to overexplain and to practice firm but respectful language. This topic connects internal healing with external behavior, showing how healthier self-concept supports healthier relationship choices and more stable self-respect. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who notice recurring relationship problems such as defensiveness, jealousy, anxiety-driven overthinking, people-pleasing, or difficulty handling conflict. It can also help those who feel emotionally reactive, struggle to maintain boundaries, or want a structured way to improve communication and self-control. The main life benefit comes from its focus on actionable skills, identifying triggers, changing thought patterns, regulating intense emotions, and making values-based choices even when stress is high. When practiced consistently, these tools can reduce relationship drama, improve self-respect, and create more stable intimacy with partners, friends, and family. Compared with similar self-help titles that focus on inspiration or theory, the 10-in-1 positioning is valuable for readers who prefer an integrated toolkit rather than buying separate books for CBT, DBT, ACT, boundaries, and inner work. The combination of skills and exercises also makes it easier to track progress and build routines. For buyers who want practical prompts, repeatable techniques, and a broad set of methods aimed at real-life behavior change, it offers strong value for the time and cost. If you would like to support Andrew C. Hinkleberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.